Sahana vavatu, sahana bhunaktu, sahaviryankaravavahai, tejasvinavaditamastamavidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shantihi. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, so Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, Chapter 9, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Travels to the Holy Places. Then, page 131. Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to point out to the Tattvavadi Acharya, who belonged to the Madhvacharya Sampradaya, that the general behavior of the Tattvavadis did not favor pure devotional service, which must be devoid of taints of fruitive activity and speculative knowledge. As far as fruit of activity is concerned, the contamination is the desire for elevation to a higher standard of life. And for speculative knowledge, the contamination of the desires to merge into the existence of the absolute truth. Right? Though it may have been within the Vaishnava things, but the liberation aspect. So it's not that you miss out on that. How far you could go. Because the point was is they just wanted to go back to Godhead. It doesn't mention anything about the relationship with the Lord. Right? And here it's interesting that the fruitive is any higher standard of life. You know, so they wanted to be freed from the material contamination and be in that, even though it's maybe spiritual. But still, it's fruitive, and that it's for their gain, it's not for serving the Lord. The Tattvavada Sampradaya of the Madhvacharya school sticks to the principle of Varnashram Dharma, which involves fruit of activity. Their ultimate goal, mukti, is simply a form of material desire. Pure devotee should be free from all kinds of material desire. He simply engages in the service of the Lord. Nonetheless, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was pleased that the Madhvacharya Sampradaya or the Tattvavada Sampradaya accepted the transcendental form of the Lord. This is the greatest qualification for the Vaishnava Sampradaya. So they're accepting his transcendental position of the form of the Lord, because that's the problem with everybody else, is they don't accept that transcendental form of the Lord. They all think it's that there's the impersonal is beyond. So there may be a form for meditation or this or that, but it's considered a lower level, and that's all. If they're not Vaishnava, that's their understanding. So he's happy with that they have that kind of faith. It is the Mayavad Sampradaya that does not accept the transcendental form of the Lord. The Vaishnava Sampradaya is also carried away by that impersonal attitude. That Sampradaya has no position at all. It is a fact that there are many so-called Vaishnavas whose ultimate aim is to merge into the existence of the Lord. For example, the Sahajiya's Vaishnava philosophy is to become one with the Supreme. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu points out that Sri Madhavendra Puri accepted Madhvacharya only because his Sampradaya accepted the transcendental form of the Lord. So that was the point that is there. Otherwise, the rest of it was not so important. You know, so many cultural things and this and that, but philosophically then, yes.
So, according to this description, it sounds like as followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are more gaudious than Madhva, actually. From Madhva, we took only that Krishna is the supreme deity.
Yes.
But philosophically, we don't...
Not so much. But the Brahma aspect is there. But the point is the thing is, this Madhvacharya is given, but how they're understanding it's another thing. Hmm. You know? So you can't say that Madhvacharya is saying that, because we quote from Madhvacharya all the time. But that's why I mentioned the Tattvavadis. You know, you even said Tattvavadi Sampradaya. You know, so it's kind of even separating them off that, you know, they're not exactly necessarily understanding what Madhvacharya was giving. You know, so it's just a matter of, you see, but they identify as Vaishnava, they accept this, so they're Vaishnava. So he says this is the greatest qualification. You know, this is the great qualification of the Vaishnava Sampradaya, is they accept the transcendental form of the Lord. So we're always going to deal with them, you know, as Vaishnavas and all that. But it doesn't necessarily mean that we want to follow what they do. You know, we don't do that with anybody else. You know, because we have a very specific position we're trying to attain. And if you get too close, you may end up somewhere else. I remember one devotee who, you know, spent a lot of years and years and years with the Shris, learning all their rituals and this and that and mantras and that. He was quite, you know, he was quite good at it. And he was quite respected for it and everything. And I remember one day he was there, and, you know, because he used to come, because we do the yajna, he'd come to the yajna and stuff like that. And one day he's saying something, Narayana, Narayana, and it says, you know, you're not worried you'll go to Vaikuntha instead of going to, you know, Vrindavan or Goloka? You know, I was kind of like teasing. He says, I don't care as long as I'm out of here. You know, so he really didn't care where he was going. So then that's, yeah. So if you don't care, it will be the generic. He will get Vaikuntha. But he'll get it easier than others. You know? So that's the thing, is you have to be very, very careful. Like that. Lord Chaitanya told the Goswamis, they're living in Vrindavan, but don't get too close with them. Because they have their own way that they're dealing. You know, they're born there with their background. Because if you're born in the Dham, then you've been a devotee before. You know? But, you know, a little cantankerous, you know, you may have been as a devotee. You know, so so it ends up that way. But you don't want to get into that too much. But the point is we have our line, and we follow that. As Lord Chaitanya said, he very much appreciates this understanding of that you're accepting, you have that faith in the spiritual master at the same degree as you do in the Lord. Because then they go together. Because by the Lord's grace you get guru, by guru you get Krishna. Our relationship with Krishna is through the guru. So then it all works out very nicely. Right? Amazing how one day, right? Yeah, just like, because the wind's coming from the north now. Before, yeah, it was not coming from the north, it was all over, and then now it's come from the north. So, and I think it's a little bit northeast, so it'll go more north and get more cold. Probably if he was in Sichuan? Down there, then he might not be saying Ki Jai, but since he's up north, then.
So what about, I can't remember all their names, you know, the acharyas that came up to Madhvacharya who
are in the Sampradaya. Yeah, because the mantra is bona fide, the principles are bona fide, the chit shakti is flowing there. That's, that connection is there. But the point is we have our, you know, where we want to go. They'll go where they go. So with Madhavendra, you can say is our line specifically starts with Madhavendra Puri. Because then you're dealing with, now you're talking about Vrindavan. Right? And so then you have the tree, and then under the tree, that's where the Lord sits.
About this, because we have all these acharyas and then Madhavendra Puri comes and then everything changes.
It's not that it changes. It's not a change. It's just you're going further.
It's a different focus.
No, it's a further focus. Because it's like you have from here, you have all the different incarnations of the Lord and all the Purusha avatars and all these, the Chaturvyuha, and then you have Krishna. So it's not technically a different location. So the point is then when you have Krishna, all these others are already included. Like when Krishna kills the demons, he kills his Vasudeva Krishna, because they don't have a rati with Braja Krishna, but they're there in Vrindavan. So then as Vasudeva, who, you know, establishes law and order and all that, then he kills them. And depending upon how they deal with them when he how their attitude, you know, then he might show a little Dhiro Dutta, you know, like that. They're a little in your face, and he'll get back in their up in their grill, you know, like that. So it's all these aspects are there. It's just which is appropriate for the particular individual that you're dealing with. So that's the thing with the Chinta Beta Beta Tattva. We don't have the problem that, oh, it's this and that. So no, it's just it's going up to this point. You know, it's just like, let's say, you have one of those, how you say, very thin pancakes, right?
Blini,
well, that's it depends on what you put into it. Yeah, it'd be that, and what's the other, what do you say?
Crepe. Crepe Suzette.
Yes, that's why I didn't bother saying it.
You need a different face for that.
Yeah.
Or dosa. Dosa is much thinner.
A paper dosa, yeah.
Paper dosa.
But the, my father used to make one where you take one, I think like a teaspoon. It was so thin, and he'd put it in the pan and go around, and he'd only cook on one side. It was like a piece of tracing paper. Then he'd make his blini like that. So I think also in, where is it? Brittany. They also make them very, very thin.
Oh, yeah, Brittany.
Yeah.
The Crêpe Bretagne.
Detroit.
Yeah. You're from there.
I am nearby.
Oh, nearby. So by association. Yeah. So yeah, in any case, you take that. And then, okay, and then you have, and you put something in it, and they roll it up. But then someone else doesn't roll it, then they fold it up. So it ends up square. So is it completely different?
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? You know. then so that we'll take it, maybe put some whipped cream on top. It's just taking it further. Does that make sense?
Now you bring back memories.
Yes.
When we came to Israel the first time, Basha Banavi cooked a huge feast. And then she brought the blins, and we were just sitting next to each other, like, how are we going to eat this? You know, with the cream.
Yeah, of course. After you fry them. Means you've made them, you put stuff them, then fry them again. Right? You know, that's. You know, so what I'm saying is just keep going further. So Krishna says in the Gita, there's only one path. So we have to be careful. We're not talking about it like there's different paths. It's just how far you go. You know, someone goes up to Bamanpakur, someone up to Krishnagar, someone up to Ranagat, someone up to, you know, how you say, outside Madhyamgram or something like that. Someone gets to Barasat, you know, then, you know, you get to Calcutta. So it's the same path. It's just how far you're taking the path. That's all. So in that way, then he's added in that focuses on prema, and that of prema then is going to be braja prema, like that. Because otherwise, before they're quite happy more with this kind of more shanta-y or it can get into the dasya. But it appears like what these tattvavadis are saying, they're not even bringing it up because they'll mention their goal is. Here it's not, but I'm talking to some, then they would say it's Swarupya. You know, of Mukti, they want Swarupya. But it doesn't say, you know, that about service, about the prema. They don't talk about that. So that's the weakness, is that the Sampradaya becomes mixed with that. And there's strong emphasis on the Varnashram, that principle, but they keep it as a very essential point of their sadhana, rather than it's used to support the sadhana. You know what I'm saying? It is, so their definition of dasyam means varnashram. Rupa Goswami very clearly mentions we don't see it like that. You know, it's just that surrender to the Lord. You know, it's that's aspect. Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you want to be very careful. When we're dealing on this love, Chaitanya Charitamrita, you have to make sure it's exactly like that, otherwise. So it's not a complete change, it's just going further. You know, it's just like the discussion with Ramananda Rai. So that first point that he brought up, that's the last point that they made. First and last, you know, but that's it. And then you see as Ramananda Rai then took it a few more steps, another four steps before Lord Chaitanya says, okay, now we have something substantial. Once he got to pure devotional service, then he accepted it. But now it was that, if you know more, please explain. But he wasn't satisfied till it got to pure devotion. So means if you're engaging yourself according to your duty in Varnashram, but to get to pure devotion, that's fine. You know, if you're renouncing, if you're, you know, studying gaining all this, technical knowledge, that's fine as long as the goal is pure devotion. So all those first steps that Ramananda Rai mentioned are fine as long as you're trying to get to pure devotion. But if it's not, that's it, then there's a problem. So we always want to do, because sometimes, I mean, it was very popular in the 90s when devotees started studying more books than that. Oh, Baladev says this, Vishwanath says that, they're so different. They're not. They're just talking about two aspects of one thing. You know, so the Acharya said these things, the scripture says there is never any contradiction between the Lord, the devotees, the scriptures, the Acharyas, that there isn't any contradiction. Bhaktivinoda Thakura makes that very clear. In the spiritual world, they all have one opinion. Different tastes, but one opinion.
So when we speak about the Posamparaya, it means what we do in ISKCON, we try just to follow our founder Acharya.
Yes.
And try to purify our life, to get gradually to pure bhakti. So I assume that everybody is doing the same thing in their own sampradaya.
Yes, they're following their acharya in that, but whether they're fully understanding,
yes,
that's another thing.
Yes.
Because you see, is that in Ramanujacharya's line, then after seven generations, then Vadiraj came and then tried to make something established. But we see is by the philosophy, wasn't it that we were saying, There was that reference about the Wadagalai, and who is Wadagalai?
You mentioned it briefly.
Yeah, but it was something actually very important, because they're trying to say that there were two lines, but the philosophy of this Wadagalai, that seems to have been more the original, and the Tengalai came after, but then each one claims they're the original one and all that. So it's just, they take something and overemphasize it. Yeah, that's the whole thing about that. You know, because Jiva, you know, because Krishna could be called, Shankarshan is called Jiva, because he's the source of the Jivas. The Tathasta Shakti expands from him. And so then, he's known as Jiva. And then their whole thing is Lakshmi is Jiva, but she's Jiva because she's servant. But she's non-different from the Lord. So one group, she's non-different from the Lord. The other, she's Jiva, she's not. She's like us. And so that's a very major difference. But the point is the principle of it, that she's non-different from the Lord, but she's in the mood of service. You know, by tattva, she's non-different. By service, then she has that mood. That why the Acharya wouldn't be saying both of those things? So that's what's happened. Now one took one and one took the other. You know, it's like I think one took the shoe and one took the pot. You know? And then that's the line. No? Yeah. And so like that. And so that's the difficulty, is that if one's not careful, one will overemphasize something and get distracted. So that's why you have to stick to the Acharya. So the Acharya is saying it like that. But Bhaktivinoda Thakura points out is all these sampradayas, they'll be able to understand their own sampradaya better by understanding what we're saying. Because they'll all be talking about pure devotion. But for us, it's very clear and straightforward. And these others, they sometimes get distracted by all the technicals. So they may not catch that. Does that make sense? So then by this, then it makes it easier. So one has to be very, very careful there. You know, like sahajiyas, you know, it's like that. They become one with the Supreme.
Yes.
And how many devotees go over to Radhakund or that? No, they don't generally come over here because they can't sing the tunes that the Bengalis do. So, you know, you go to Radhakund, it's a lot easier, you know. You just get a dole out and just go like this and you're good. You know, so, but it's the same thing. And so that's the problem, is they're not understanding their position, and what's there, or some other aspect, because they think they're non-different. But so much influence is there, and people, you know, like that. So one has to be very careful. You know, if you want to go to Braj, when Prabhupada says razor's edge, just razor's edge. But if you stick to the acharya's point, it's very easy. You know, it's like if the calves, the ocean of material nature comes down to the size of a calf's hoofprint, you can just step across. Why can't the razor's edge be wide enough we can stay on it? You know. So that's the whole. Yeah. So it's, yeah. Okay. 29278. Thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu broke the pride of the Tattvavadis to pieces. He then went to the holy place known as Falgu Tirtha, right? Said all this, and then he left. Like that. So, like you see, one or two of them, they like us, and the others don't like us. Verses 2779 to 303. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visits with Sri Rangapuri? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visits Sri Rangapuri. Unless Sri Rangapuri is a person.
Yes, Sri Rangapuri.
Then it should be visit, not visits. Unless he came to him many times. Okay, whatever. 29279. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Mother Sachi, next went to Trita Kupa, and after seeing the Vishala deity there, he went to the holy place known as Panchasara Tirtha, Srila Prabhupada. See, another problem also is that Tattvavadi is saying, well, this is what our acharya said, but no, try to understand what your acharya said. Right? They're just taking the words. Because if you're dealing with the Mayavadis, you're arguing over these words and all that. But the point is it's not about actually debate, it's about presenting the pure philosophy. And so if you're comfortable in that philosophy, then it's not your the words aren't the main thing. You're presenting a understanding, and you're using words. But for the impersonalist, it's all about the words, you know, and their indirect interpretation of them. Srila Prabhupada. The apsaras, denizens of heavenly planets, are generally known as dancing girls. The girls on the heavenly planets are exquisitely beautiful, and if a woman on earth is found to be very beautiful, she is compared to the apsaras. There are five apsaras named Lata, Buddha, Samichi, Saura, Vyayi, and Varna. It is said that these five beautiful dancing girls were sent by Indra to break the severe austerity of a saintly person called Achyuta Rishi. This action was typical of Indra, the king of heaven. Whenever Indra discovered someone undergoing severe austerities, he would begin to fear for his post. Indra was always anxious about his post, fearing that if someone became more powerful than he was, he would lose his elevated position. Thus, as soon as he would see a saint undergoing severe austerities, he would send dancing girls to distract him. Even the great saint Vishwamitra Muni fell victim to his plan. When the five apsaras went to break Achyuta Rishi's meditation, they were all chastised and cursed by the saint. As a result, the girls turned into crocodiles in a lake that came to be known as Panchaspara. Oh, Panchasara. Panchapsara. Panchapsara. Oh, Panchapsara. Okay, that makes more sense. Lord Ramachandra also visited this place. From Sri Narad Muni's narration, it is understood that when Arjuna went to visit the holy places, he learned about the condemnation of the five apsaras. He delivered them from their abominable condition. And from that day, the lake known as Panchapsara became a place of pilgrimage. Right? Yeah, because it couldn't be a place of pilgrimage before that, because the apsaras were there as crocodiles, and if you went there to take a bath, they would eat you. So it was not a place of pilgrimage. But after he delivered them, then they became places of pilgrimage. 29280. After seeing Panchapsara, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Gokarna. While there, he visited the temple of Lord Shiva and And then he went to Dvaipayani. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the crown jewel of all sannyasis, then went to Surpardaka, Tirtha, Srila Prabhupada. Gokarna is situated in North Kannada, in the Karnataka state. It is about 33 miles southeast of Kanwar. This place is very famous for the temple of Lord Shiva, known as Mahabaleshwara. Hundreds of thousands of pilgrims come to see this temple. Surpardaka is about 26 miles north of Bombay, in the Maharashtra province. Near Bombay is a district known as Thane and a place known as Sopara. Thane, is that what's called now Thane?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Lord Chaitanya went up through there. Okay, so we're getting close. He's come all the way up now. 29281. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then visited the town of Kolhapura, where he saw the goddess of fortune in the temple of Kshira Bhagavati, and saw Langa Ganesha in another temple, known as Chora Parvati, or Chora Parvati, Srila Prabhupada. Kolhapura is a town in the Maharashtra province, formerly known as Bombay Pradesh.
Bombay Pradesh?
Yeah. Formerly, Kolhapura was a native state, and it is bordered on the north by the district of Santara, on the east and south by the district of Belgaum. So is that now Belgaum? Okay. And on the west by the district of Ratnagiri. In Kolhapura, there is a river named Urna. From the Bombay Gazette, it is understood that there were about 250 temples there, out of which six are very famous. These are 1. Ambabhai, or Mahalakshmi Mandir; 2. Vitoba Mandir; 3. Temblai Mandira; 4. Mahakali Mandira; 5. Firangai, or Pratyangira Mandira; and 6. Yalam Ma Mandira. No? Nobody knows. Vitoba is Vitalnath. Oh, okay. Kolhapur, isn't that? Yeah, but is Lokanath Maharaj is from there?
Yes, nearby.
Nearby, called in the village nearby. Okay. 29282. From there, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Pandarapura, where he happily saw the temple of... Wow. Really, two of those. Vitala Thakur. Wow. I've never seen that before, where you have two of those together. You know, the TH, but with the dot under it, but there's two after each other. So then you stop on one, and then Vitala, like that. But with the Vitala. Okay. Srila Prabhupada, the city of Pandharpur is situated on the river Bhima. It is said that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu initiated Tukaram when he visited Pandharpur, and thus Tukaram became his disciple. Tukaram Acharya became very famous in the Maharashtra province, and he spread the Sankirtan movement all over the province. Right? He's very famous for Kirtan and all that. The Sankirtan party belonging to Tukaram is still very popular in Bombay and throughout the province of Maharashtra. Tukaram's book is known as Abhanga. His Sankirtan party exactly resembles the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sankirtan parties, for they chant the holy name of the Lord with Mridanga and Kartalas. The Lord Vitala Deva, mentioned in this verse, is a form of Lord Vishnu with two hands. He is Narayana.
So here it is said that Chaitanya Prabhu initiated Tukaram.
Yes.
So I was thinking that he initiated nobody officially. In Dikshaya.
But what about the six Goswamis? He initiated the six Goswamis.
But
they're considered his direct disciples.
Yes.
So then? This is why we have so much problem with this topic. See, is that whenever, like this, we say initiate, then we think it means Pancharatra. But the point is if someone is on the platform of Brahma-Bhuta, then when they hear instructions and they accept those instructions as a life and soul, on the Bhagavat platform, you're initiated. But if you're conditioned, you have to have Pancharatra. So the Goswamis were not, and so it appears here that Tuparam, because we don't hear him sit down, otherwise he'd mention something more or something. But I've never heard anything more. So the point is by hearing from him, then he, you know, took those instructions. And you see, he got into Samkirtan. He's famous for Samkirtan and his kirtans, and they do. Madanga and kartals, that's how they do. You know? The music style will be more the style from over there, you know, like that. But the point is it's still, it's kirtan, so they still, to this day, you still hear about them. Yes?
Tuparam himself mentions some Guru Chaitanya initiated.
Guru Chaitanya, yeah.
But from, I think, Ramana Maharaj also mentions, in dream it happens, something like that.
But the point is the Acharyas mentioned it happened, so it happened. So. You know, just like Chintamani is the guru of Bilva Mangal Tukor. So, you know, you have to appreciate your parents are guru. Right? Like that. So, oh, one thing was out. Okay. 289. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted and danced in various ways as usual. A brahmana, seeing him in ecstatic love, was very pleased and invited the Lord to come to his home for lunch. The brahmana offered Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu food with great respect and love. Oh, okay. Thought it was a very large computer turning on. You know, they're going, yeah. But it kept going, so. The Brahmin offered Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu food with great respect and love. After finishing his lunch, the Lord received auspicious news. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received words that Sri Rangapuri, one of the disciples of Sri Madhavendrapuri, was present in that village at the home of a brahmana. Hearing this news, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately went to see Sri Rangapuri at the Brahmin's house. Upon entering, the Lord saw him sitting there. As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Sri Rangapuri, he immediately offered him obeisances in ecstatic love, falling flat on the ground. The symptoms of transcendental transformations were visible, namely tears, jubilation, trembling, and perspiration. Upon seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in such an ecstatic mood, Sri Rangapuri said, "Your Holiness, please get up. Your Holiness is certainly related to Sri Madhavendrapuri, without whom there is no fragrance of ecstatic love." Because right? You see, for this, the ecstatic love is not even discussed. It's not a position that is being aspired for. It's the proper thing. You're accepting the Lord. You're worshiping the Lord. You're connecting everything to the Lord. So as far as their duties are going, they're doing it very nicely. Right? But to go farther, then it's only if you're following Madhavendrapuri, because he's seeing all these transcendental symptoms. So he says, you must be following Madhavendrapuri. Otherwise, you wouldn't have these symptoms.
Yes.
Like that. It's that no fragrance. Not even saying, there, it's not even a, nothing. Like, yeah. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur remarks that up to the advent of His Holiness Sripad Lakshmipati Tirtha, it was the system in the disciplic succession of Madhvacharya to worship Lord Krishna alone. After Srila Madhavendrapuri, worship of both Radha and Krishna was established. For this reason, Sri Madhavendrapuri is accepted as the root of worship in ecstatic love. Unless one is connected to the disciplic succession of Madhavendrapuri, there is no possibility of awakening the symptoms of ecstatic love. The word gosai is significant in this connection. The spiritual master who is fully surrendered unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead and has no business other than the Lord's service is called the best of the Paramahamsas. The Paramahamsa has no program for sense gratification. He is interested only in satisfying the senses of the Lord. One who has control of the senses in this way is called Gosai, or Goswami, master of the senses. The senses cannot be controlled unless one is engaged in the service of the Lord. Therefore, the bona fide spiritual master who has full control over his senses engages 24 hours a day in the Lord's service. He can therefore be addressed as Gosai or Goswami. The title Goswami cannot be inherited, but can be given only to a bona fide spiritual master. So that's the difficulty with the Goswami Sampradaya. Is that they may be coming in the Gaudiya line, they have proper mantras and everything like that, but because they're thinking that you're a Goswami automatically by birth, then philosophically they're not understanding the process. And so that makes them an Apasampradaya. There are six great Goswamis of Vrindavan: Srila Rupa, Sanatana, Bhatta Raghunatha, Sri Jiva, Gopal Bhatta, Dasa Raghunatha. And none of them inherited the title of Goswami. All the Goswamis of Vrindavan were bona fide spiritual masters situated on the highest platform of devotional service. And for that reason, they were called Goswamis. All the temples of Vrindavan were certainly started by the six Goswamis. Later, the worship in the temples was entrusted to some householder disciples of the Goswamis. And since then, the hereditary title of Goswami has been used, right? So, at Radharaman Temple, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, then the Brahmins that ran his temple and did the puja, they then thought, we're Goswamis, and then their children that are Goswamis. But the point is the six Goswamis didn't inherit the title, it's that they qualified for it. You know? Otherwise, then the father becomes a lawyer. Now everybody in the line is born there. Now we're all lawyers. You know, so it's the same principle. But it's popular. However, only one who is a bona fide spiritual master expanding the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Krishna conscious movement, and who is in full control of his senses can be addressed as a Goswami. Right? So it doesn't mean that someone couldn't be, but the point is by birth, that's not what qualifies you. Unfortunately, the hereditary process is going on. Therefore, at the present moment, in most cases, the title is being misused due to ignorance of the word's etymology. Right? So he's saying, in most cases, so there here and there is one or two that are, you know, they definitely, you know, follow very nicely and everything. 290 to 300. After saying this, Sri Rangapuri lifted Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu up and embraced him. As they embraced shoulder to shoulder, they both began to cry in ecstasy. After some moments, they came to their senses and became patient. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then informed Sri Rangapuri about his relationship with Ishwarapuri. They were both inundated by the wonderful ecstasy of love that was aroused in them. So this Sri Rangapuri, then he's a godbrother of Ishwarapuri. Okay. Finally, they sat down and respectfully began to converse. In this way, they discussed topics about Lord Krishna continually for 5 to 7 days. Right, means in other words, they don't know what it is because they were so absorbed. So it could have been 5, could have been 7. Right? Out of curiosity, Sri Rangapuri asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about his birthplace. And the Lord informed him that it was Navadvip Dham. Sri Rangapuri had formerly gone to Navadvip with Sri Madhavendra Puri, and he therefore remembered the incidents that had taken place there. As soon as Sri Rangapuri recalled Navadvip, he also recalled accompanying Sri Madhavendra Puri to the house of Jagannath Mishra, where Rangapuri had taken lunch. He even remembered the taste of an unprecedented curry made of banana flowers. Right? Mocha Ganta. Like that. Unprecedented. Sri Rangapuri also remembered the wife of Jagannath Mishra. She was very devoted and chaste. As for her affection, she was exactly like the mother of the universe. He also remembered how Sri Jagannath Mishra's wife, Sachimata, was expert in cooking. He recalled that she was very affectionate towards the sannyasis and fed them exactly like her own sons. Sri Rangapuri also remembered that one of her deserving sons had accepted the renounced order at a very young age. His name was Shankararanya. Sri Rangapuri informed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the sannyasi named Shankararanya had attained perfection in that holy place, Pandharapur. Like, so there he had that. Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's elder brother was named Vishwarup. He left home before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and accepted the sannyas order under the name of Shankararanya, Swami. He traveled all over the country and finally went to Pandharapur, where he passed away after attaining perfection. In other words, he entered the spiritual world after giving up his mortal body at Pandharapur. Sri Rangapuri, a disciple of Sri Madhavendra Puri, and godbrother of Ishwara Puri, disclosed this important news to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 29301-303.
The question comes up sometimes about the identity of Vishwarup.
Meaning?
Other than some person.
Whether they're the same or not, the mood will be somewhat different. And so then, you know, it's just like, is Ramachandra, you know, Krishna? Yes, but the mood's different, different flavors. So then there'll be some difference in mood there. So there's some reason for that and how it works, and then...
So, in terms of tattva?
That I don't know. I haven't heard. So unless the acharyas mention it, like maybe in Chaitanya Bhagavat, one of the acharyas will mention or something, or Chaitanya Mangal, if they bring it up, get into detail. But it's not a problem if they are, and there's not a problem if they're not. You know, because it seems to be it's slightly, you know, not so much is said.
Because the in terms of chronology, the Brahmana goes to the village of Lomitanam, takes Lomitanam with him around India, and then there is Shankararanya who also leaves to go around India. And some people make the connection.
Might be, might not. That means if the acharyas mention it and all that, then it's something important. If not, then it's just like, let's say, where's Jayadeva Goswami from? So it's not important. What's important is whatever it is that he's added to the thing, his background, where he's from, this, that. It's not important. So sometimes you see is that there's personalities like Sridhar Swami. You know, no one gets into anything else in background and anything else, just he's the commentator on Bhagavatam. And so that's the important aspect. Other aspects aren't looked at. So if the acharyas mention it, then it will be something, you know, significant. But if they don't, then it's one of those things that doesn't really matter. It could be, it might not be. But in any case, it doesn't change how we're looking at anything else. It means all the other flavors, all the other, that all remains the same. You know, because then, you know, it could be, it could not be. Doesn't matter. Like, Lord Chaitanya took sannyas from someone who was, you know, a jiva. So, I mean, Nityananda Prabhu could also be the same. Or it could be, you know, not. So that doesn't really matter. Some of these details aren't so important. Because within the pastimes, no one makes these distinctions like that. It means we are shown these distinctions so that we can appreciate what's there and analyze and see the difference between matter and spirit. Like I mentioned, like Sandini, Sambit, Ladini. We make that distinction, but in the spiritual world they don't make that distinction. You know, it's not like, you know, you're there and you meet a new gopi. Oh, what shakti are you connected with? You know, no, they don't get in there. It's not something that they do. So there's a limit to, because otherwise curiosity can take one into so many areas and that, and one can think of so many things and come up with so many, you know, ways to bewilder the mind, but it's not necessarily that they're that important. You know, like that. But, you know, it could be added to the, you know, the, how you say that, very, I'd say, seminal work of, you know, 1,008 Russian questions. It could be added to one of those, you know. So it's, if it's there, it's nice if the acharyas mention and you know, then you can use it. If they don't never mention, then why worry about it? You know, it just comes up, you know, we hear about it before when he's young, and we hear about it now. And other than that, we never hear about it. You know, because he'll have wondered what happened to his brother, and that now he knows. So, yeah. Yes.
I remember in work Kanadesh Deepika, it is mentioned that Vishwarup is a partial representation of Lord Bala.
Okay.
So they are connected with Nitai, but Nitai, he is Bala.
Yes.
And that is a partial representation. Yeah. So it's the same
topic. It's kind of like Gadadhar and Gadadhar Das.
Exactly.
Gadadhar Das is the effulgence.
Yes.
So there's a connection, but you see they're different.
Yeah.
So there must be something there, some flavor, some aspect. You know. So then if that's there, then you know that there's some reason that it's there. Because his brother is that aspect of Sankarshan. But you see at the same time as then they're also, even though they kind of grew up together, but they do have different... they're born in different places but at the same time it's accepted that they have the same mother. Like they're both seen as sons of Devaki, but at the same time as she's connected with Rohini. So you have some fun like that, that Nityananda Prabhu is, you know, like Lord Krishna also. So it's there, is that, you know, he'll be there, but then he's born in Ekachak. You know, so his parents will also have aspects of the what do you call it? You know, they connect Devaki and Vasudeva and like that. But you see, Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra will have more intensity of that. You know, is that so? Yeah, nice. See, there's something. Then you have at least you know what his position is.
No, it came up. People asked, like, out of curiosity, they try making connections.
Yeah, no, that's good. But at the same time, is if it's there, then you go for it. And if it's not, if the acharyas don't talk about it, then you don't worry about it. It's not a matter of blindly accepting or all these other things that they want to pile on top. It's just a matter of it's not important. You know.
I guess it's a question, because I've heard something similar. The question is the same kind of category that the Diksha and Shiksha Guru. So if we take by blood connection, or Vishwarup should be closer, but Nitai somehow is closer to Gauranga.
Yeah.
So if we will, these people, the same, like, you know, Mahaprabhu had Shiksha disciples. None of his disciples are Diksha, as we perceive it.
Yes.
But they were very close disciples.
Yes, but they are, but on the Bhagavat platform, they are Diksha disciples.
Yes.
On Bhagavat. That's the thing. But we're not on Bhagavat platform.
So for us, there's weak connection and there's strong connection, but we see it reverse order.
Yeah. Because it's that Kamala Shraddha and the Vridha Shraddha. So that's the point, is because when the Kamala Shraddha is there, then that means then you follow sadhana bhakti, you follow these things. So then you go to the standard pancharatrik methods. But you can say, no, my faith is good. But the strong faith means you're naturally working on the platform of pure devotional service. That's Dhrita Shraddha. So it's just a matter of, there's the culture, there's the philosophy, how it works and all that. And these things are important. And so if these are appreciated, then it's good. But we have to appreciate them from our line. We can't get it from another line. You know, we can't hear from the, you know, the Babas at Radhakund or, you know, Govardhan or, you know, here in Navadvip. I don't think anybody's doing that, but, you know, still. So then... No, actually, some do that. Yeah. But they already know Bengali, so they can do that. Yeah, so, one has to be appreciate all these fine points, but a lot of times the culture, our culture is not something that's necessarily deeply appreciated, because it's just seen as it's an external thing, it's different, and anything different, I don't like it. You know, does that make sense? So that's the fun part, is those who see themselves in the contemporary sense as more liberal are the most xenophobic. You know, so those who are least of that, they'll consider as more. You know, so that's the difficulty, is that we're not, without seeing according to how the acharyas explain things, we can't understand it. It's not understandable, because we want to always understand it by our logic. It has to be logical to us. But the point is that we don't, since you're dealing with the internal potency, it's not by logic, it's by Krishna's blessings. You can engage your logic in devotion, and through that, Krishna can reveal himself. But it's not because the logic itself, mechanically, that's why you understand anything. So these are certain dogmas that just people have real issues with. You know, it's that, you know, the dogma of I do religion, I should get good material facilities. And if I don't, then there's something wrong. You know, or the dogma that that jnana is higher than karma. In the way of, you know, a devotee who's intellectual is automatically a better devotee than one who's not. You know, so these are actual dogmas that are there from material conditioning. And because they're so well accepted, people don't even notice that they don't belong in devotional service. And they just use them as the principles of dealing. And so then you can get very distracted. Like we see the Tattvavadis, they're distracted because they're just so much into the logic and defeating the Mayavadis and the Buddhists, and that, you know, and establishing Varnashram and all that, and how it's supposed to be connected to the Lord. And while the Mayavadis are using Varnashram, but not connecting to the Lord, they're just, you know, it's a, like that. And so then they get so distracted. So we have to be very, very careful that these underlying dogmas are not, you know, like we say, it has to be logical. But the point is one, then are we saying the individual who's worried, are they logical? They'll think they're logical, but that doesn't mean they are. You know, it's just like the chair at the university thinks he's the most intelligent person on the planet, but a lot of other people know he's not. You know, so that's the whole thing, is that we get distracted. That's why then we have to see is that the pure devotion, as it's being defined, and those elements, that we don't get involved in that. So if the acharya doesn't think it's important for us, it's not important. And that's not, that we're making the choice that we want to follow our acharya. While the other person is saying, oh, but then you're just blindly accepted. They're following the thing that what they think, what they can see with their senses, they accept. So that's the same path as the mundane scientists or the others who work on that sensual platform, the animals. And so, yes, if you want to go by that, probably the maximum number of living entities in the universe use that system. Animals just go by what they can see. What they see, smell, that's it. They don't go anything beyond that. They don't know of anything beyond that. So, yes, we've done that the most of anything else in our life. But human life is that opportunity we can go beyond. So the point is, just like, you know, like you have a purport, then we talk on it. Like in Gita, then there'll be so many verses, no purport. We don't talk on those. Because that's because they didn't put, because no one else put. Right? And then when you get to the other, then all that line there will have a culmination in that, and then that way it will come into the discussion if it's necessary. But on its own, it won't. So these are things, they can come up in a discussion as something coming and through, but it's not its own discussion. You know, because, what's the point? Okay, so then we know, then what will you know? Like you say, curiosity, but what will you do with this curiosity? If there isn't anything, then how is it spiritual? Oh, we're talking about the Lord, but how are you talking about the Lord? What it means, hearing and chanting about the Lord means you're glorifying the Lord and you're progressing towards the Lord. How does this do? Oh, it's just of interest. Interest for what? So then it's just a matter of intellectual sense gratification. Even though it's about the Lord. But still. You know, Kub just considered is samanya. Her conjugal affection, because it was about herself. It's connected with the Lord. She's purified. She's, you know, Krishna goes and visits. But at the same time, as that's where it ends. You know, a smile. You know, what do you call it? Where you recognize somebody. That they're there, you know, acknowledge, an acknowledgement. And that's as far as it goes.
He's straight.
Sorry?
Straightened her.
That's there. But I mean, afterwards, then he went and visited. Yeah, she got straightened out. Yeah, she's following a very crooked path. You know? Yeah, so then these things are there. They're nice things. But at the same time, as we have to be careful that our... We're not, cultivating our inner jigyasu. Because that's the point. The jigyasu, when he runs out of interesting things, he goes somewhere else to look for more interesting things. So that's why you have to get to the point of a jnani. And the jnani means then you're grateful to the Lord and therefore you want to serve. But it's because he's done things, that's why you're serving. That's why it's still considered a neophyte position. Right? Then it's out of you want to please the Lord. That brings you then to the Madhyama platform. So they're very subtle points, and we're all getting into that because this is Chaitanya Charitamrita. You know, if we were doing the Bhagavad Gita, we wouldn't necessarily need to go this fine. Because if you did, you'd just see the whole room would be sitting around going, that's it. So there are points that are they're nice, and if they come up, we deal with them, and if they don't come up, we don't worry about them. There's enough information there that we can try to focus on other things, and then we don't get distracted. Otherwise, from this, then we want to know something else, you know. That makes sense, you know. How many? When the girls braid their hair, how many you know knots are there? You know how many? Just wanted to know. Just was, didn't mean anything. You know, it's not about the girls. It's interesting. You know, cause, I mean, think about it. Because if they stick pearls in them, then how many pearls do they need? You know, it's like there's so many things. But what has it got to do with us? So we have to know who we are, where we are, and how to move forward from our position as given by the acharyas. Otherwise, yes, so many other things come up. You know, and it's natural. If you introduce strong elements of karma or jnana, then these things will come up. They're there anyway. Like you hear those early classes in the 60s and that Prabhupada asks for questions, the things they ask about is just like completely wild. You know, it's just so that's and they've heard the whole class, and that's their question. You know, so it's already there. So we no need to encourage it. Is that, yeah. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "In my previous ashram, Shankararanya was my brother, and Jagannath Mishra was my father." After finishing his talks with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Rangapuri started for Dwarka Dham. After Sri Rangapuri departed for Dwarka, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained with the Brahmana at Pundarapura for 4 more days. He took his bath in the Bhima River and visited the temple of Vitala, verses 304 to 309. The Lord discovers Krishna Karinamrita. 2, 9, 3, or 4. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu next went to the bank of the Krishna Venva River, where he visited many holy places and the temples of various gods, Srila Prabhupada. This river is the branch of the river Krishna. It is said that Thakur Bilva Mangal resided on the banks of this river, which is also called the Vina, the Veni, the Sina, and the Bhima. So it has a few names. 2, 9, 3, or 5. The Brahmana community there was composed of pure devotees. They regularly studied a book entitled Krishna Karinamrita, which was composed by Bilva Mangal Thakur. So he used to reside there, and so they had the book, and so then they would study the book. Srila Prabhupada. This book was composed by Bilva Mangal Thakur in 112 verses. There are two or three other books bearing the same name, and there are also two commentaries on Bilva Mangal's book. One commentary was written by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, and the other by Chaitanya Das Goswami. 2, 9, 3, 0, 6, 3, 0, 9. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased to hear the book Krishna Karinamrita, and with great eagerness he had it copied and took it with him. There is no comparison to the Krishna Karinamrita within the three worlds. By studying this book, one is elevated to the knowledge of pure devotional service to Krishna. One who constantly reads the Krishna Karinamrita can fully understand the beauty and melodious taste of the pastimes of Lord Krishna. The Brahma Samhita and Krishna Karinamrita were two books that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered to be most valuable jewels. Therefore, he took them with him on his return trip. Verses 310 to 337. Lord Chaitanya makes his way back towards Jagannath Puri. 2, 9, 3, 10. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu next arrived at the banks of the river Tapi. By bathing there, he went to Mahishmati Pura. While there, he saw many holy places on the banks of the river Narmada. Srila Prabhupada. The river Tapi is also known as Tapti. The river's source is a mountain called Multai, and the river flows westward through the state of Saurashtra into the Arabian Sea. Mahishmati Pura, Maheshwara, is mentioned in Mahabharata in connection with Sahadeva's victory. Sahadeva, the youngest brother of the Pandavas, conquered that part of the country, as stated in the Mahabharata. Tatorat na nyupadaya purim mahishmatim yayao tatra nilena ragya sa chakre yudham narar shabha. After acquiring jewels, Sahadeva went to the city of Mahishmati, where he fought with a king called Nila. 2, 9, 3, 11. The Lord next arrived at Dhanushtirtha, where he took his bath in the river near Vindhya. He then arrived at Rishyamukha Mountain and then went to Dandakaranya. Oh, Rishyamukha is so far up. Huh. I always thought it was quite south, but it's right kind of in the middle. Srila Prabhupada. According to some opinions, Rishyamukha is a chain of mountains beginning at the village of Hampi Grama in the district of Bellary. The mountain chain begins along the bank of the river Tungabhadra, which gradually reaches the state of Hyderabad. According to other opinions, this hill is situated in Madhya Pradesh. Okay, that's why it's too. Okay. And bears the present name of Rampa. Dandakaranya is a spacious tract of land which begins north of Khandesha and extends up to the southern Mada Nagara, through Nasik and Aurangabad. The Godavari River flows through this tract of land, and there's a great forest there where Lord Ramachandra lived. 2, 9, 3, 12. Within the Dandakaranya forest, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then visited a place called Saptatala. The seven palm trees are very old, very bulky, and very high. Srila Prabhupada, the name Saptatala is mentioned in the Kishkindya section of the Ramayana and is described in the 11th and 12th chapters of that section. Priti, the section of Ramayana mentioned above describes how Lord Ramachandra pierced these seven trees with a single arrow in order to prove his prowess to Sugriva. Thus, Sugriva was convinced that Lord Ramachandra could kill Bali. Like that. So they've been there since that time. Since Ramachandra's time. So as he says, very old, very bulky, and very high. So they were very big and large trees. 2, 9, 3, 3:13 to 3:16. Upon seeing the seven palm trees, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced them. As a result, they all returned to Vaikuntha Loka, the spiritual world. After the seven palm trees had departed for Vaikuntha, everyone was astonished to see that they were gone. The people then began to say, "The sannyasi called Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must be an incarnation of Lord Ramachandra. Only Ramachandra has the power to send seven palm trees to the spiritual Vaikuntha planets." Eventually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at a lake known as Pampa, where he took his bath. He then went to a place called Panchavati, where he rested. Srila Prabhupada. According to some, the old name of the Tungabhadra River was Pampa. According to others, Vijayanagara, the capital of the state, was known as Pampa Tirtha. According to still others, the lake near Anagundi in the direction of Hyderabad is Pampa Sarova. The river Tungabhadra also flows through there. There are many different opinions about the lake called Pampa Sarova. 29317318. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So you see, they just take it that far. And it doesn't matter. Point is Lord Chaitanya visited wherever they are. So if you're at any of these three places where they claim there is and it's there, you take your bath there and remember Lord Chaitanya. That's all. Because you also have the aspect of where they're placed can be according to the kalpa beta. And one kalpa they may be in one place, another in another. That's the whole point. You know, it's like you have a hobalam here. But at the same time as he was sitting in Indra's throne. So Prabhupada points that out, is that, you know, why they say it's here when it was there. So it may have been another time it was here. So that's the thing, is that these things may be in one, so it doesn't really matter. If authorities, you know, acharyas are saying it's here or there, then it's fine. And even if it seems they're different, it doesn't matter. Because the pastimes go on, you know, every cycle of the ages. So that means the same pastime may go on 1,000 times in the day of Brahma. But something like this, where you have Swayam Ramachandra and Swayam Chaitanya, that's only going to be once in the day of Brahma. Two 3:17 to 3:18. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then visited Nasik, where he saw the deity of Triambaka, Lord Shiva. He then went to Brahmagiri and then to Kushavarta, the source of the river Godavari. After visiting many other holy places, the Lord went to Sapta Godavari. At last he returned to Vidyanagar. Srila Prabhupada. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled from the source of the Godavari River and eventually visited the northern side of Hyderabad state. Finally arrived at the state of Kalinga. 2:19 to 3:47. When Ramananda Rai heard of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrival, he was very pleased, and he immediately went to see him. When Ramananda Rai fell flat, touching the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord immediately raised him to his feet and embraced him. In great ecstatic love, they both began to cry, and thus their minds were slackened. After some time, they regained their senses and sat together to discuss various subjects. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Ramananda Rai a vivid description of his travels to the holy places and told him how he had acquired the two books named Krishna Karinamrita and Brahma Samhita. The Lord delivered the books to Ramananda Rai. The Lord said, "Whatever you have told me about devotional service is all supported by these two books." Ramananda Rai was very happy to receive these books. He tasted their contents along with the Lord and made a copy of each. News spread in the village of Vidyanagara about the arrival of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and everyone came to see him once again. After seeing the people who gathered there, Sri Ramananda Rai returned to his own home. At noon, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got up to take his lunch. Sri Ramananda Rai returned at night, and he and the Lord discussed topics concerning Krishna. Thus they passed the night. Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussed Krishna day and night, and thus they passed from 5 to 7 days in great happiness. Again, you know, a good amount of time. Right. Nobody knows. Right. Ramananda Rai said, "My dear Lord, with your permission, I have already written a letter to the king with great humility. The king has already given me an order to return to Jagannath Puri, and I am making arrangements to do this." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, "It is for this purpose alone that I have returned. I want to take you with me to Jagannath Puri." Ramananda Rai said, "My dear Lord, it is better that you proceed to Jagannath Puri alone, because with me there will be many horses, elephants, and soldiers all roaring tumultuously. I shall make arrangements within 10 days. Because he's still the governor there, working under the king, and so if he's being asked to return there, he's still returning in his capacity as governor. And so then he's going to go, then it's like this. There'll be elephants, horses, and soldiers, and there'll be a lot of noise. Following you, I shall go to Neelachal without delay." Giving orders to Ramananda Roy to come to Neelachala, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu departed for Jagannath Puri with great pleasure. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned by the same road he had formerly taken to Vidyanagar. And all the Vaishnavas along the way saw him again. Okay, so he started in Puri, went down to Vidyanagar, then went around back to Vidyanagar, then up to Puri. Yeah, no, that's very far out. Because he always thinks that he just went around and came straight back. No, he came back to Vidyanagar. Came to get Ramananda Rai. And all the Vaishnavas along the way saw him again. Wherever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went, the holy name of Sri Hari was vibrated. Seeing this, the Lord became very happy. So he had come through, had preached, they had taken up chanting and the understanding of Krishna consciousness. Now coming back after some time, and then now that chanting is going on. So he'll be very happy. Verses 338 to 365. The Puri devotees eagerly welcomed the Lord. When the Lord reached Alalanath, he sent his assistant Krishnadas ahead to call for Nityananda Prabhu and other personal associates. So Krishnadas stayed with him.
Yes.
Somehow I thought after he saved him, he sent him back.
No, then when he arrives.
No. But when he gets there, he gets rid of him.
And then he chastises Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya because he tells him, you know, you gave me an assistant, but this guy is like Bhattacharya, you know.
He sent his assistant Krishnadas ahead to call for Nityananda Prabhu and other personal associates. As soon as Nityananda Prabhu received news of the arrival of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he immediately got up and started out to see him. Indeed, he was very impatient in his great ecstasy. Sri Nityananda Rai, Jagannanda, Damodar Pandit, and Mukunda all became ecstatic in their happiness. And dancing along the way, they went to meet the Lord. Gopinath Acharya also went in a very happy mood. They all went to meet the Lord, and they finally contacted him on the way. The Lord was also filled with ecstatic love, and he embraced them all. Out of their love, they began to cry with pleasure. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya also went to see the Lord with great pleasure, and he met him on the beach by the sea. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya fell down at the lotus feet of the Lord, and the Lord pulled him up and embraced him. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya cried in great ecstatic love. Then the Lord, accompanied by them all, went to the temple of Jagannath. Due to ecstatic love experienced upon visiting Lord Jagannath, inundations of trembling, perspiration, tears, and jubilation swept the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In ecstatic love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced and chanted. At that time, all the attendants and priests came to offer him a garland and the remnants of Lord Jagannath's food. Srila Prabhupada, those who are priests engaged in Lord Jagannath's service are called pandas or panditas, and they are brahmanas. The attendants who look after the temple's external affairs are called palas. The priests in attendance went together to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, so you have the The Pandas and the Palas. Okay. 29348. Oh, yeah. Pala. It's also in connection with the king. Yeah, because they take care of all the management and see that everyone's taken care of and all that. So even here, you see the Brahmins, they do all their things, then there's others who do the management. But those who do the management are considered assistants to the Brahmins. Like that. 348 to 357. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became patient after receiving the garland and prasadam of Lord Jagannath. All the servants of Lord Jagannath met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with great pleasure. Afterwards, Kashi Mishra came and fell down at the lotus feet of the Lord, and the Lord respectfully embraced him. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya then took the Lord with him to his home, saying, "Today's luncheon will be at my home." In this way, he invited the Lord. It will be at my house. In this way, he invited the Lord. Did I mention about Kashi Mishra?
No.
Okay. Yeah. All the servants of Lord Jagannath met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with great pleasure. Afterward, Kashi Mishra came and fell down at the lotus feet of the Lord, and the Lord respectfully embraced him. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya then took the Lord with him to his home, saying, "Today's luncheon will be at my home." In this way he invited the Lord. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya brought various types of food remnants that had been left by Lord Jagannath. He brought all kinds of cakes and condensed milk preparations. Accompanied by all his associates, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house and took his noon lunch there. After offering food to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya made him lie down to rest, and he personally began to massage the legs of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then sent Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to take his lunch, and the Lord remained that night in his home just to please him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his personal associates remained with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. They all stayed awake the entire night as the Lord spoke of his pilgrimage. The Lord told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, "I have traveled to many holy places, but I could not find a Vaishnava as good as you anywhere." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "I received much pleasure from the talks of Ramananda Rai." The Bhattacharya replied, "For this reason I requested that you meet him." Srila Prabhupada. In the Sri Chaitanya Chandradaya, the beginning of the eighth act, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, "Sarvabhauma, I have traveled to many holy places, but I cannot find a Vaishnava as good as you anywhere. However, I must admit that Ramananda Rai is wonderful." Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replies, "Therefore, my lord, I requested that you see him." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then says, "There are, of course, many Vaishnavas in these holy places. Most of them worship Lord Narayana. Others, who are called Tattvavadis, are also Lakshmi Narayan worshippers, but they do not belong to the pure Vaishnava cult. There are many worshippers of Lord Shiva, and there are also many atheists. Regardless, my dear Bhattacharya, I very much like Ramananda Rai and his opinions." 29358-360. "Thus I have ended my narration about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pilgrimage. Describing it in brief, it cannot be described very broadly. The pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are unlimited. No one can properly describe his activities. Yet I make an attempt out of greed." Because it's just so nice, he just wants to tell more and more. So he's making his attempt. "This but reveals my shamelessness. Whoever hears of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pilgrimage to various holy places attains the riches of very deep ecstatic love." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirms the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam on the strength of his philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. That philosophy holds that the Supreme Lord is simultaneously one with and different from His creation. That is to say, there is unity in diversity. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proved the impotence of fruitive workers, speculative empiric philosophers, and mystic yogis. The realization of such men is simply a waste of time and energy. To set the example, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally visited temples in various holy places. Wherever he visited, he immediately exhibited his ecstatic love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When a Vaishnava visits the temple of a demigod, his vision of that demigod is different from the vision of the impersonalists and Mayavadis. The Brahma Samhita supports this. A Vaishnava's visit to the temple of Lord Shiva, for example, is different from a non-devotee's visit. The non-devotee considers the deity of Lord Shiva an imaginary form because he ultimately thinks that the Supreme Absolute Truth is void. However, a Vaishnava sees Lord Shiva as being simultaneously one with and different from the Supreme Lord. In this regard, the example of milk and yogurt is given. Yogurt is actually nothing but milk, but at the same time, it is not milk. It is simultaneously one with milk, yet different from it. This is the philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it is confirmed by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita 9.4. Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina matstani sarvabhutani nachaham teshvavastitaha. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. Right, so that's the point of that. It's either simultaneously one, but at the same time different. The absolute truth, God, is everything, but this does not mean that everything is God. For this reason, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers visited the temples of all the demigods, but they did not see them in the same way an impersonalist sees them. Everyone should follow in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and visit all temples. Sometimes mundane sahajiyas suppose that the gopis visited the temple of Katyayani in the same way mundane people visit the temple of Devi. However, the gopis prayed to Katyayani to grant them Krishna as their husband, whereas mundaners visit the temple of Katyayani to receive some material profit. That is the difference between a Vaishnava's visit and a non-devotee's visit. Not understanding the process of disciplic succession, so-called logicians put forward the theory of Panchopasana, in which a person worships one of five deities, namely Vishnu, Shiva, Durga, the sun god, or Ganesh. In this conception, the impersonalists imagine one of these five deities as supreme and reject the others. So it's coming from logician, that logical kind of attachment that will accept one and then reject everything else.
What's the logic?
But that's what he says, so-called logicians. But it's a very common thing. I mean, if I remember before, that was the thing, happening in the 80s. And then, you had so many senior Vaishnavas that you respected, but as soon as you chose one for a guru, all the other ones weren't important.
Yeah.
That's why then if something happened to that guru, they had nothing. I mean, literally. So then there was a big problem. So then they went from one to another, and then, as they said in Italy, I say, buy nine, get one free. So, like that. So it's just a matter of not understanding the culture and everything like that, and how all these relationships are there. You're expanding relationships, not reducing them. But it's coming from that mundane position. Hare Krishna. Because I was just wondering, why is this, where did that come from? So, here. Such philosophical speculation, which is certainly idol worship, is not accepted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or by Vaishnavas. This imaginary deity worship has recently been transformed into Mayavad impersonalism. For want of Krishna consciousness, people are victimized by the Mayavad philosophy, and consequently they sometimes become staunch atheists. However, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established the process of self-realization by his own personal behavior. As stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 8.274, Stavara Jangama Deke Na Deke Taramuti. Vaishna Sarvatra Hoy Nija Ishta Deva Spurti. A Vaishnava never sees the material form of anything, moving or non-moving. Rather, everywhere he sees the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and immediately he remembers the transcendental form of the Lord. So that gives them that connection, that spurti. 293.61 is 362. Please hear the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with faith and devotion, giving up envy of the Lord. Everyone chant the Lord's holy name, Hari. In this age of Kali, there are no genuine religious principles other than those established by Vaishnava devotees and the Vaishnava scriptures. This is the sum and substance of everything. Yes. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.